Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio, hosted by serial entrepreneur Denise Griffiths. Denise offers a full menu of on-the-web services for all your online needs. Denise and her team of virtual assistants can help manage your online business, including social media channels, blogs, web portals, and more. YourOfficeOnTheWeb.com is a comprehensive resource to help you combine the power of your brand, your connections, and innovative ideas to develop a full online strategy that can guarantee a strong profitable impact on your business.
Good morning and welcome to Your Partner in Success Radio. I'm your host, Denise Griffiths, and each week I'm honored to share the microphone with truly interesting people. These are people who are entrepreneurs, authors, speakers, internet marketers, virtual assistants. They are small business owners who have wonderful stories to share and who are excited to freely share their business wisdom and their tips and their actionable advice. In short, they are willing to help us shorten our learning curve as we navigate the know, like, and trust economy. And today I welcome Robert Plank to the show. Robert is an online business coach who would like to help you manage your time, get your life back, and simplify your daily activities. Using systems, checklists, and templates, you can write a book within an hour, become a published author within 12 hours, you can set up a membership site in a single day, you can create a blog or a podcast in 5 minutes or less, and just so much more. Now, Robert makes a high six-figure income on the internet, and he creates information products, software tools, and webinar training. And then advertising on the internet to turn it into a system that continues to function day in and day out is how he really, really gets his message out there. He is also the author of The Checklist Mindset for Entrepreneurs, Employees, and Action Takers. Automate and scale your small business or 9-to-5 job into an appointment-based machine. He also hosts an excellent podcast called The Robert Plank Show, and I will be a guest there soon. And you can find the link in the show notes or simply by going to robertplank.com and hitting the podcast link. Robert, as I was telling you in the green room, I am so excited to have you here today. Welcome.
I'm super glad to be here. I'm about 100 times as excited as you.
Oh, that's nice. Listen, as I was telling you, I buy your products. I take your trainings. I'm a customer. I'm a consumer. And I've got a lot of questions for you because, I mean, you do some really great work out there. And we have some mutual friends, Adam Homey, who is probably listening in as well, somebody else I really highly, highly respect and consider him a colleague. So before I get, too gushing, tell people a little bit more about yourself that I may have missed, and then we are off to the races.
All right, great. Well, I mean, what I'm all about is to basically get everything done that needs getting done. And, if you're thinking about making a book, thinking about making a website, thinking about making a product, just to get it done in its complete but imperfect form. So that way you can kind of get something out there, make some money, and then improve it as you go along. And I mean, the thing about me is I'm sort of a computer geek, and I struggled a lot with, sort of where my computer geek career was going to take me. And at an early age, I kind of realized that what I was doing as sort of a computer programmer or a coder, that was going to max out at maybe 30 grand a year, 40 grand a year. And I realized that, something had to change. So I kind of had to become more than like just a computer geek, right? More than just what I am. And I think a lot of people out there, maybe someone listening out there is looking to be like, more than just a lawyer or more than just a social media consultant. And so then I realized pretty quickly that, just doing like this whole freelancing thing wasn't going to cut it. I had to do a lot of actual marketing, right? I had to put out information products. I had to put out a blog. I had to make a podcast. I had to send emails. I had to sort of do all of these internet marketing things. And sort of like you said, as you're ramping up the show, is that sometimes there's a longer of a learning curve than we want, or sometimes we jump on a tool that we think is going to help us. Like we use some kind of tool to make a website or make a blog, and it ends up being just this whole, can of worms we open, and we say, I just wanted to make a website. Next thing I know, I'm sort of doing a million different things. And so my goal is to sort of, as both of those things, is to get it done, get it out there, but also keep it simple and not let the tool kind of get away from you, if that makes sense.
Oh, absolutely. Listen, you are speaking my language. I was the only graduating female in my computer science class. I have a computer science degree. And like you, I mean, I didn't even bother to go to the job placement office. I just went, nope, I am not working for somebody else's company to make $30,000, maybe $50,000 a year. That's not why I was here. And I instantly went out on my own, and I've never turned back.
Right.
I totally get it.
Awesome. So we're on the same page there. And, yeah, and just all that corporate America 9-to-5 stuff where you had to, you know, go to meetings that weren't that important and someone would, you know, send you an email and then call you to say, did you get that email? I mean, we both kind of got around that. And so, but then the problem is when we say, you know, people like you and me say, well, you know, I don't want to have a boss. I don't want to work for someone else. But then how the heck do I, you know, how do I keep myself motivated and energized and always, you know, excited to get out of bed in the morning and doing all these things that are making money? And, you know, for a lot of us, there's that whole, you know, learning curve. And maybe for some people, it takes, you know, 6 months to start to make money or a year to start to make money. But, you know, it's definitely not instant unless we get really lucky. And even if, you know, we do kind of get to that level of success, then we might have ups and downs as entrepreneurs. And so, you know, when we're in business for ourselves, working for ourselves, out of all the things that I've used to kind of keep myself motivated and to keep myself, getting things done every day, the biggest secret that I want to share with your people just kind of starting out here is that I do exactly 4 things every day. And there's all kinds of, you know, crazy time management systems that people have out there where they try to have a big to-do list and they have like 1,000 things and they try to, you know, prioritize or color code or put things in quadrants. Out of all the things that I've tried, in making that jump from a 9-to-5 job or even, you know, not having one into being self-employed, I just do 4 things every day. And that means that every day there's one task that I have that is a 10-minute task. And then the other 3 tasks of that day are 45-minute blocks. And so, for example, like this morning, I woke up in the morning and I had to send an email out to my list. So I just dedicated 10 minutes to doing that one quick thing. So that even if the worst possible thing happened, you know, toilet overflowed, asteroid hit my house, whatever, at least I would have gotten that one thing done. And then the remaining 3 things were just 45-minute blocks of time. And so, you know, I guess us doing this This interview counts as one of those things. I'm going to be interviewing someone later today to have them on my show, and then I'm going to be doing a little bit of writing. But every time that I sort of, look back or try to mess with things and try to, you know, load up 20 things in a day or try to slowly chip away at one big thing, it never works. And so sort of along those lines, you know, when we get into business for ourselves, you know, we have those ups and downs. We have those periods of, you know, motivation and then burnout. And so what's been really helpful for me just as we're kind of getting started here is to just do those 4 things every single day.
Now, Robert, when you were starting out and you were building these tools and these courses, and I know you're still continuing to build, I'm guessing that if you have a particular, I don't know, let's call it a course, a mini course of some description, is that one of your products or one of your functions for the day? I mean, do you just block out time to work on that until it's done, maybe a week? How does that work?
Well, about that, like if I have a new idea for something, I do my best to keep it within a 3-day window or so. So I know that if I get excited about something on, say, like a Monday morning, that's probably only going to last until till Thursday or so. And so what I do is if I have a new idea for a course, I just think about, okay, well, what can I do within the next 3 days, knowing that I'm only going to be doing 4 things at the most every day to sort of get something into a finished kind of place. And so if I have an idea for a course, so I know that you do like, you know, social media and stuff like that, Denise. So mm-hmm. if I was going to make like a course about social media, I would think to myself, okay, well, is it realistic that if I have the idea for this course on Monday, will it be completely done? Hours and hours of video done by Thursday? Well, probably not. So I think to myself, well, what is a somewhat finished form of that idea that I can get done by Thursday? And so the answer might be just to have the sales that are done, right? Maybe if I get to the point where I say, okay, well, I'm going to have this course about, you know, how to set up your social media, and maybe I decide, well, what will the name of it be? So that way I can register the .com domain name for it. Maybe I can put up a web page for it. Maybe I can have a headline. Maybe I can have maybe 5 or so good reasons to buy. And if I have just a button where someone can click and pay me, you know, $50 for one-time access to this course, then if I can get all that done by Thursday, all those little pieces, at least that is that course finished in some state. And so then on, you know, Friday or maybe the next Monday or something, if I want to pick that back up again, then I can say, okay, now within this 3-day window, what can I start and finish completely within that 3 days? So maybe for the next 3-day period, maybe we say, okay, now we have the sales page done and the button for someone to buy. Maybe now we'll record some of the videos for that. So as far as like if I have an idea or have some of those projects, I think that we've all kind of been stuck in a project that was fun 3 months ago or 6 months ago, still not finished, and then I start to think, well, I can't stop on this project now because I've put all these weeks, all these hours into it, but I really don't feel like going that final, you know, 5 or 10 feet to finish it. That 3-day window has been a lot more helpful for me. So I just say, okay, I assume that in 3 days I'm going to lose interest in this. So what can I do within the next 3 days to get this project somewhat in a finished form? So if that means sales letters done, videos done, whatever that means for you.
That is absolutely brilliant because you're right. I mean, I'm guilty of this on my own work. With client work, I get it done. Obviously, I'm going to get it done. My own stuff, I start, I put it down, I come back to it a few months later, or worse, a long time later, and then I have to re-educate myself. What was my thinking? What was I going to do? What tools? I mean, I almost have to, it feels like I'm starting all over again. You know, remember when you were a kid and you had summer vacation, and you go back to school and you're, well, crud, now what? Because you have to start all over again. And I hate that feeling, and I do it all the time. So I love the 3-day chunking, you know, where you can just kind of chunk it and then put it on the board for the next week or the next 2 weeks to make sure it gets done. Your enthusiasm is still high enough, and you're still close enough to it that you don't have to re-educate yourself. So I think that's marvelous.
And for me, it helps to sort of get those small wins. And I think that, you know, sort of like you said, if you have client work or you have an actual deadline, well, of course, we'll get to that because there's an actual deadline. But for our own stuff, it's like, well, we make a deadline for ourselves, and is that a real deadline? Maybe, maybe not. And maybe we ourselves have, you know, slightly lower self-esteem about, you know, our own websites, and we sort of maybe second guess ourselves, and it takes longer. And so, yeah, it really helps me to get those kind of small wins and to get into that habit of knowing that if I start something, I'm going to finish it, even though it's not in this huge, you know, grand epic scale. At least the things that I start, I know that I'll finish it. And then it kind of improves my confidence over time and makes me more optimistic because I know that if I have an idea for something, I'm going to finish it later on. And I mean, for some of us, it might kind of take a little bit of getting used to. For example, we might have to really, scale things back and say, okay, well, I have this idea for a course about social media, and maybe one of my tasks for today will just be to name it. And once I name it, then that's just my one task. And maybe it didn't take me the whole 45 minutes, but at least I'm kind of making these baby steps, right? And then my next task might be, now I'll register the domain name. The next task might be just to get a blank piece of paper or a blank web page on there. And then the next task might be just get a headline on there. And that's, I mean, if you think about it, those four things, I mean, you named the course, you grabbed a domain name for it, you put up a web page, you put up a headline. That's more than most people, did throughout their whole week or their whole month even. And then the next day you can just have some more small wins. Like maybe the next day you say, I'm just going to get a payment button on there. Then you say, maybe I'm just going to write a sentence or two on there, but we can just, for me, it's more important to have those small wins and to get myself in that habit and to tell myself that all these little actions are going to add up to a lot more over time long term, as opposed to someone who doesn't have a plan and just maybe gets 20 things done one day, but then nothing else done the rest of the month. And so it's sort of like more playing the long game.
And I'm guilty of that. You know, I will go into something like, ooh, like beast mode. I've got this. And about 11 o'clock, midnight, I'm like, ooh, wow. You know, I'm so proud of my body of work. But then I can't touch it again for another week because it wore me out. It really did. I have to move on to something else. You know, something else that maybe is not as difficult, maybe a client project, you know, that really requires some different creativity or a different role. And then by the time I get back to it, it's like, and I catch myself whining. It's pathetic. So you're right. I really need to work on taking those small wins and just doing it in a steady progression instead of going into beast mode. Oh, man, I've got the colors. I've got the layout. I've got the gravatar. Woo-hoo-hoo. And then don't touch it again for 6 weeks, you know, which, of course, is ridiculous. But I do it. I think a lot of us do.
Yeah, and there's a lot of switching gears in there. And even just like as you're describing, it sounds like all kinds of highs and lows, right? Like beast mode, I feel good. I feel productive. But then the next day, I feel like I had to go through all that. And then you look at what you did and
tired.
You maybe think about redoing it. Yeah, it's like it's way too much of a process as opposed to if you just kind of plugged away every day at it.
I love that. I actually, it's so interesting that we're talking about this because I committed yesterday to write a book, which I've wanted to do. I've never done it, but I actually committed to it yesterday. You know, pinky swear and all. Signed documents, everything. And so I went into my calendar this morning and I set out 3 days before even speaking to you, only 3 days that I will write on this book. Just three. Because I know that my brain won't function after that. So, you know, there's always a reason that I get to talk with the people I do. You just kind of reaffirm the things that I already know and that I need to do. So thank you for that. But, you know, one
You're
of
welcome.
The things
Helpful
that we're talking,
reminders, right?
Yes, very much so. One of my quick questions before I go on to the next one is when you're creating this kind of workflow and you're making it easy on yourself and you're taking those small wins, how do you keep track of it? Do you use Evernote? Do you use a Word document? I mean, how do you keep yourself on track?
So what I'll do, like sometimes I'll use a Google document, maybe if I'm trying to figure something out. So for example, like if it's my first time playing around with a WordPress site or if it's my first time playing around with some new WordPress theme, I might keep a little bit of like a journal, just like some kind of notes of like, I click this, I click that. But the tool that I use a lot more often is Google Calendar. And this is a tool where, awesome. So we're alike in so many ways, right? And so just to kind of catch everyone up, this is like a web-based tool where you can have a calendar in front of you and you can click and you can make little appointments and things. And it's great because it synchronizes to your phone and you can share it with other people and stuff like that. So sometimes if I'm really stuck or if it's kind of like that thing that you mentioned there where like you say like, well, I've got to write a book, but I need to like, you know, dedicate actual time to do it, then I'll put an appointment in that calendar and just, you know, no one else really knows about it. It's just I say, okay, well, you know, on tomorrow from 7 a.m. to 8 a.m., that is time dedicated just to, you know, just to writing that book. And I'm glad that you said that you're only going to give yourself 3 days to write that book because that means that it's probably going to be a short book. So that means that
a week. But we're going to publish it in about 3 months, but I'm writing it with someone else. So there'll be some going back and forth, but only 3 days a week and only 30 minutes at a pop.
Awesome. And so
you
know, same idea there.
I'm not going to exhaust myself.
Yep, exactly. And if you only give yourself 30 minutes each time, I mean, there's no way the book is going to be, you know, some 600-page monstrosity.
No.
You give yourself the excuse to go and edit it
no.
all over again. It's going to be a short book, and that's all something where you can make that short book, put it out there. If you feel like adding another chapter or beefing it up later, then it can get done later. But that's really helpful. And so if I'm trying to not really force myself, but I'm trying to, you know, get myself amped up to get, you know, get those things done, I have a few little techniques that I always kind of have in my back pocket. So I'll do that Google Calendar trick where I'll, set myself an appointment to get some stuff done. And then, those first few times it might be difficult, but it's like one of those things where the more you take that calendar seriously, the better of a tool it is. And I see a lot of people get super crazy with the calendar stuff, and they'll schedule like 20 things a day, and they'll schedule their own bathroom breaks. And for me, just one, maybe two. I mean, yeah, crazy, right? But I mean, one, maybe two appointments in the calendar help me to stay on track. And then if I really have trouble committing myself to that appointment, then I'll tell someone. I'll text a close friend and I'll say, you know, tomorrow from this time to that time is time I have locked out for this. And so right before I do it. I'm going to text you and I'm going to tell you that I started doing it. I'm going to do it. When it's done, I'm going to text you it's done. And even if it doesn't get done, I'm going to text you and tell you it didn't get done and sort of feel guilty about that. So that's called having an accountability partner. And then if I have a really unproductive session where I'm like, you know, I'm sitting at the computer, this 30-minute session, I've got to write this book, I'm blocked, then I will open up a browser window and I'll do a Google search for the word countdown timer 5 minutes or countdown timer 30 minutes. And what that will do is it'll bring up a countdown clock right there in the Google window, and it'll just count down 30 minutes. And for some reason, that those numbers ticking away right in front of you kind of jump you into action. And then the other secret to this is, so you have this 30-minute window, right? You have this 30-minute countdown clock, and then once that countdown clock hits zero, then you stop what you're doing, you close everything, you save everything, and you get yourself off the computer. And it's kind of mess with your brain a couple
of
ways up.
Yep, exactly.
Yep, completely walk away and take it seriously. And if you're, you know, halfway through a sentence, or if you say, oh, just one more minute, don't even give yourself more a minute, hard stop when it hits zero. And the first couple of times, your brain's going to like be like, well, what the heck? I was on a roll. Why did you stop me? But then you do this a few times for maybe even a few days, and now your brain kind of gets retrained so that, you know, as that clock's ticking away, it's almost like when you were taking a test at school when it was time. Like, if you have 2 minutes left, 1 minute left, you're really going to, you know, haul ass and finish that. And so, and then even if that doesn't work, what I'll do sometimes is I will find a way to record my computer screen. So I use a tool called Camtasia Recorder, but any tool that anyone has to record your computer screen, this weird thing kind of happens where, you know, just because you're using some kind of tool to record your screen, it's almost as if someone is looking over your shoulder. And at least for me, if I'm recording my screen, I'm not going to open my email. I'm not going to open Facebook or Twitter. I'm going to just focus on, you know, what's at hand. So I have all these, you know, kind of techniques, and I don't use them all at the same time. I don't use them all, you know, every single day. But if I kind of find myself blocked or I find myself needing that urgency, then I can do, you know, some of those techniques that we just mentioned.
You know, I hadn't thought of recording, and I have Camtasia, and I have the Steps recorder. I had not thought of that, but that's kind of like, you're right, the hall monitor standing over your shoulder going, you're doing it, you're working, what's going on here? But, you know, I do, when you're talking about, you know, calling your texting your buddy and saying, okay, I'm going in for 30 minutes, I have long done what I call segment intending. And I will, you know, sit down at my computer, and I will say, okay, Denise, for the next 30 minutes, this is what you're going to do. And I mean, I don't focus on anything else. I don't answer the phone. My cell phone is almost never anywhere near me. It's oftentimes it's dead or it's in the car. Or one time I found it in a bag of cherries in the refrigerator. I don't pay much attention to it. But, you know, I turn my phone off. I turn everything off. And I segment intend for 30, no more than 45, depending on what's going on. But for 30 minutes, I focus exclusively on what I'm working on. And you're right. Once you train your brain to do that, I don't even need to look at the clock. My brain knows when that 30 minutes is up. I've done it for years.
And that's a really good habit that you have there. And I think that, that you know, a lot of people are missing that. A lot of people will think they can do it all and have a lot of windows open, have a lot of pop-ups going, you know, switch to the phone and back. And there's all these different studies that happen where people say that, you know, getting distracted or having an interruption or even the phone ringing or switching tasks, it takes you 15 minutes just to kind of get back into that flow state that you were at in the beginning. So it's like, you know, if you go 5 minutes and then you get interrupted and then it takes you 15 minutes to get back into the groove and interrupted again, then it's like you almost spend most of your time just switching gears. So that thing that you just mentioned there, that, you know, being singularly focused on one thing and cutting out all distractions, I mean, it's such an underrated habit to pick up. And it's like we all lose it. And I think that, you know, I used to not really notice when I had the focus and lost the focus, but now I'm super aware of it, and I realize, you know, when I'm overworked or I'm blocked, I need to get the focus back. I mean, a really, really important thing for all of us to know if we're in it or not.
Oh, absolutely. You know how I know when I've just overextended myself, and it's normally around that 30, 45 minute mark. I catch myself leaning forward in my chair. I'm looking at my computer. I have, you know, dual monitors on one side and another monitor on the other. I have an L-shaped desk. And I will catch myself kind of like when you're reading a book and you're not reading the book, you're just blank. You're just looking at the book. Once I realize that I'm leaning forward, I'm shallow breathing, and I'm actually not taking in anything on the screen, I walk off. I get up. I walk out. I go out and chase, squirrels with the dog. I may put a load of dishes in, but I walk away because I know better. I have been probably unproductive for 5 minutes and didn't even notice it. So you really have to kind of pay attention to what your body is doing, too, when these things happen.
Oh, yeah. I completely agree.
Okay, so I wanted to ask and thank you for all of those tips. I mean, the temptation one, I am doing that today. That is pretty brilliant. But I wanted to ask you, when I introduced you at the top of the show, you're talking about, you could get a website up and a membership site in a single day, which I've done. I get that. Or create a blog or a podcast in 5 minutes or less. Let's kind of talk about those different things, because anybody who's listening to us right now, they want to know about internet marketing and they want to know the tools and how what do you recommend? Is it WordPress? Is it Squarespace? What are some of your best tools and best practices? Would you mind sharing some of those?
Yeah, I mean, my favorite tool for making a website is WordPress, and it's the self-hosted version
Me
of
too.
WordPress, and that way I can kind of get it set up quickly, and then if I want to add to things later, then I can. I'm not just stuck with someone else's kind of system. So I like to use WordPress for my website. I like to use Namecheap for the .com domain name. I like to park it on HostGator, and then once I have that WordPress site on there, then I make it a point to keep things super simple. And I think that a lot of people will they'll spend their first day making their website thinking about how it's going to look or what theme I want or what colors I want. And my thinking is, well, what's the shortest path to something that's complete? And so if you make a website and your first focus is on making it pretty and stuff, well, what's usually going to happen is maybe you'll decide by the first few days on what theme you want. It'll be a pretty site, but there will be no content on it. So my thinking is, if I'm going to make a site, then let me focus on making it pretty last. So I'll make a site, and I'll worry about the content on there, right? I'll worry about what people see when they get on there. I'll worry about, adding a couple of blog posts on there, because my thinking is, if I, like you mentioned, the two monitors, well, what if you had a web browser open on each of those monitors, and one of those monitors had your website and it looked really pretty, but there was no words on it. The other monitor had a website that looked kind of ugly, but had words on it, had stuff people could do. Which one is better? Which one is complete? Well, I would say the one that has words on it, but then is still kind of ugly and could use a little more work there when you felt like it and wasn't urgent. And then as far as like the tools and things I use, I believe in, keeping things really simple. And so, I'm just talking to you right now from just a $25 USB headset. And then what I'll do then, if I, if I want to have a website that's making money, I'll just use whatever, whatever tools I have in front of me. I don't need to buy like a super fancy microphone and go down this rabbit hole of learning all these tools. And then, when it comes time, you mentioned a podcast. So we have a course on podcasting, and what we teach people to do there is to just record. And so basically, to catch everyone up, a podcast is like we're on right now, like an internet radio show. You can do an interview or record a quick audio session, and then you put it online. And so my thinking I have two podcasts right now, but when I create a podcast, I just say, well, let me just hit record, and the very first podcast episode I'm going to record is going to be just 5 minutes. I'm not going to worry about editing it. I'm not going to worry about adding music. I'm just going to record if it's my very first podcast episode, I'm going to hit record. I'm just going to talk for 5 minutes about myself and my website and maybe a quick tip. And then that will at least get one podcast episode in the can. And as opposed to a lot of people will kind of let things become too big in scope, and they'll say, let me plan out my, 10 next or my 100 next episodes, or let me, try out different kinds of music, or let me try out this editing software. And the next thing you know, they spent 6 months doing nothing. And so my thinking with all that is, whatever gets it done quickly, and then I can always move on from there. But, if someone out there is setting up a WordPress blog, get the WordPress blog set up. use the default theme, the default design for now. If you have an article with your name on it that you've written before, great. If not, go on YouTube, search for just an interesting YouTube video, make that first post, put someone else's YouTube video as your first post, because at least that will get it done. If you're making a podcast, record that first episode, record it for just 5 minutes. That way, that is something that you have done. And so that's kind of my thought process with that, is that, you know, I'll get something that's somewhat complete in some form online, and I'll make it better later, because I have no guarantee that in a week from now, or even in a few days from now, that, you know, that future Robert will be as excited about that project as present Robert is.
I love that. You know, and you mentioned simple. I started out with my podcast in 2009 with Blog Talk Radio. And of course, now there are all kinds of ways. And I'll be honest with you, I watch some of these people say, oh, you've got to do this, and you've got to do Stitcher, and you've got to have, it's like, nope, I'm lazy. I'm too busy. I don't want to make it any more difficult than I have to. And I like Blog Talk Radio. But the beauty and the simplicity of how I do it is that you're on your headphone, I'm on my phone. I put the show notes in, you call in, we talk, we hang up, it's done. It goes out to iTunes, it goes out to Stitcher. I don't have to do any further work other than to create, you know, an episode about it in my blog. It's just so easy, and it's clean, and it didn't cost me anything but $40 a month. So I'm sticking with Blog Talk Radio. It's simple. So I totally get, you know, that you have to find a simple, elegant way to do things and not make it, you know, just so darn difficult on yourself. And I really think we were talking about procrastination in the virtual green room, and I think that's what a lot of that is, don't you? You know, by trying to make it perfect and get it all laid out, they're not actually taking steps to do it. They're taking steps to think about doing it.
Yeah, and it's making a lot of work for yourself and a lot of busy work that's not really going to pay off that much. And my thinking is, my go-to if I find myself falling into that trap is I kind of ask myself, well, you know, if I don't do this, will it cost me money? And if I do this, will it make me money? And so, you know, if I like you said, if you have that your podcast on Blog Talk Radio, if it's working for you, why mess with it? Someone else says, oh, you can get on Stitcher, you can get on iHeartRadio or whatever. Well, I mean, is that really going to make you a lot more money? Well, I don't know. There might be a better use of your time, like, you know, finding some new podcast guests, or, you know, sending traffic to an old episode, or getting some of those episodes transcribed and put into books. And so that's always my thinking, that, you know, there's a limited amount of time during the day, and even within that, there's a limited amount of productive time, and, you know, you're not going to get today back. After today's done, today's gone forever. And so, you know, you kind of have to be careful about what you dedicate your time to. And so, yeah, that's always my thinking is, you know, if someone tells me, well, you should, you know, put your podcast episodes on YouTube and stuff like that, well, is that a must-have or is that a nice-to-have? And if it's something that's – it's not clear if that's going to make me a lot more money in the future, then I'll focus on something that I know will make me more money.
Exactly. I see a lot – because I started back in the day when it was a fairly new idea – and a lot of people have come out and they're putting out these great courses. And, I mean, podcasting is huge, and I think it's going to get bigger. But, you know, I'm going to stick with what works for me. I enjoy it. It's a format that I really enjoy. And it doesn't take days and hours and weeks for me to put it out there. So I'm going to stick right where I'm at. Okay, let's talk about, you mentioned earlier something I think is so, so important, and that's simplicity. And I look at all of your different websites, and we talked earlier about this template that you've got, and I need to pull the trigger on that. I haven't yet, called the paper template. Tell me a bit more about that, because that really embodies simplicity, and I would love to know how you came to create that and how it's working for you.
Well, the way I came to create it was, you know, I've been doing this for a long time, like you as well. And if you remember back in the day, it used to be all the rage to, if you made a website, you'd get like a custom, you know, background with the repeat pattern on it, and you get a custom, you know, a top banner of your site and a custom bottom banner of your site. And I kept making these different websites, and I just got tired of either trying to make my own mini site graphics or hiring those things out. And it basically got to the point where, and this is when I was just kind of getting ramped up, where I would launch two products a week. And when I say products, they were They were about, you know, $10 or $20, and they would be, back then it was stuff selling the computer geeks, like how to, you know, how to make web pages better and stuff like that. And every time I would, do this twice a week, and basically on like a Monday or Tuesday, I would launch a product, and then on like a Thursday or a Friday, I would launch another product. And basically I would, you know, have to, you know, make some kind of videos. I would have to make a web page telling people what they're about to buy. That's called a sales letter, add a payment button, and do all these things. And it was just, it just felt like an unnecessary step to get these fancy custom graphics made. And then when this thing called split testing came about, we could basically say, well, let me send half of my traffic to the website with the fancy graphics and half of my traffic to the website with just some bare bones graphics. And the website with hardly any graphics on it and mostly text, for whatever reason, outsold by a ton. And this is like, a lot of like, copywriters and advertisers and people like that, they'll notice that like the ugly ads sell, or ads with that look more like a classified ad or a newspaper ad sell better than something with a fancy graphic. And so I thought, well, huh, this is interesting. If I make just a simple web page where there's not a lot of giant distracting text, you get on there and there's those couple seconds to get attention, and your attention is actually on the words that you want people to read as opposed to the graphics, well, then it's, I don't have to wait for someone else to make graphics, I don't have to spend money on it, and then it actually is more effective. I thought, well, there's something to this. And so as I kind of realized what became like my process or my checklist, and where I said, okay, well, I have an idea for this product or this membership site, and I think to myself about, okay, well, what problems does it solve, or what are those problems and what's the solution? So I figure out that package, that offer, and then I put it on to a web page, and then it was like the text on the sales letters was more important than the graphics. And so that's what this paper template plugin is it's a plugin that installs on top of WordPress. That way you don't have to play around with coding or, you know, HTML or anything like that. It's sort of like you type in a Word document and what you see is what appears on the screen. And that way you can focus on having a decent headline or having sort of an interesting hook to kind of pull people in, and so that they can, you can relate to the problem you're setting up. Or you can then, when it comes time to take them from that problem to introduce a solution or your offer and give them the components of that offer, then they can kind of get sucked into that as well. And then when you say, now that I've explained to you my solution, now here are the steps that I want you to take, now people get drawn into the text on the web page and not the graphics. And if you really think about it, I mean, websites like, you know, Google or Amazon or eBay, or, you know, most of these websites that kind of control the whole world, they don't really bother with huge flashy graphics or huge giant graphics. The focus is more on what's on the page, right? Google is just a plain white website. You do a search, you see what the text appears. You go to eBay or you go to Amazon, and the focus is just on what are the different items for sale. They don't care too much about what these fancy, you know, header graphics and things are. And so that's what paper template is it's a way for you to get a website completed very quickly, and it looks like a plain white piece of paper, and there are ways to sort of spruce it up if you want to, but just to get the job done, you can just use this plugin, and it's $7 at papertemplate.com, where you can just take WordPress and then make a regular web page where you can present an offer and say, you know, here's a thing for sale, go ahead and buy it.
And I have to tell you, my biggest reason for not doing it is because I'm one of those people. When I build a website, they're gorgeous. They really are. And, you know, I do the full mamma jamma on WordPress. You know, they've got the sliders if the client wants it. There's graphics. They're beautiful. You know, there's all the underlying tools, you know, wishlist member or whatever's going to happen. And I kept looking at your site and going, that's too easy. I'm bad to that. No, it doesn't. You don't need to have these big mamma jammas all the time. So I'm actually going to purchase it. I had already made up my mind today because I have an idea for a site that I want to create very, very quickly. So I'm going to be a test subject for you. But so underneath, for the people in the audience, so underneath this site, you know, that's the front of it. That's the front manifestation. That's the sales part of it. What happens in the back? Because I can see eyebrows going up like, okay, that's great, but Now, how do I make it work? How do I make, do I send it to a mini course? Do I send it to a webinar? Where is this call to action going? So if you could explain, you know, maybe some of the underpinnings, that would be very helpful to the audience.
Yeah, and you know, and as I'm explaining this, I mean, I think that that the important thing to remember is the term starting point, right? And if people out there, if you want to make a really beautiful looking site, I mean, I'm definitely not against that, but my thinking is, you know, let me just get some kind of web page out there. That way I can say, you know, if I had this to launch my course, I could. And then later on, we can always spruce it up later. But I think that, you know, the words you have to say on a web page, or if the web page is, you know, completely functioning and the button that I click actually works, that for me, that's like a higher priority than how pretty it looks. And we can always make it better. And, you know, it's easier to edit crap and error and all that stuff. And so so basically what I like to do is, if someone's completely stuck about, you know, what kind of website to make, or they say, I just want the shortest path to making money, what I recommend is that somebody makes a membership site. A membership site sounds like the scary thing. And if you want to call it a mini membership site or a mini course or whatever gets the job done, but a membership site can just be a site where someone pays you $10 one time and then they get access. And for some reason along the way, people got some idea in their head that a membership site meant that you have to charge, you know, $100 a month or something. But a membership site is just a site where someone is a member. And so what you can do is think about, you know, what problems that people are having in your marketplace. And, you know, maybe it's that they don't know how to run webinars, they don't know how to run social media, but think of just some real big problem and some really cool solution that you can show with some like really exciting proof. So if you can show, you know, how to run Facebook ads and get a fan page up to 10,000 fans or 1,000 fans or a group up to 1,000 members, something like that, that's really exciting. And if you can show how to do that within a couple of days, or if you can show someone how to do that for free or for not a lot of money, well, then now we're kind of removing these barriers for people buying or removing the objections. So that's the first step is, you know, don't just sell something for the heck of it, or don't just make some videos about something, but think about, you know, what problems people are having, and then what kind of solution do you have that's easy for you and hard for others, and can you get someone to you know, to get that result? Like we said, if it's get a ton of social media following or run their first webinar or whatever, if you can get them to do that within a couple of days, that's really exciting. And then from there, then I would kind of break it down and think about what are four stepping stones where someone could do that. So for example, you could have people for one of those stepping stones, maybe for, you know, 40 minutes or so, show them on video how to do all the stuff that needs to be set up with Twitter. And then the next stepping stone, so you can call that module two, show people everything they need to know about how to get everything set up on Facebook. Or then the next one, show them how YouTube or Google Plus. But you just have these different stepping stones, and I recommend that you think of four things total, so that by the time someone kind of follows along with you, they'll have all their Facebook set up, they'll have their Facebook ad set up, they'll have videos, they'll have Twitter. So that way they'll have all these things. They won't just have knowledge and facts and figures, but they'll actually have these things kind of set up. And so you make those videos and you put it into what's called a backend. And we use Wishlist Member for that. And then we use PaperTemple on the front end. And then to kind of connect the two together, we use a PayPal button. And the reason for that is because it's really simple. You don't have to get a merchant account. You can get it, you know, set up in a few minutes. And so that way what you have set up is just if someone goes to the front page, the front door of your site for whatever this course is, then they can just see exactly what it is. They can pay you, you know, $10 one time. That grants them access into your what's called your membership site. That way they have an account. And then that way, if you want to pile in things later, like lots of extra, you know, videos or bonuses or whatever, you can just pile it into that same membership site. And if you want to, in the future, you know, sell that to thousands of people, the membership site will manage that. So if people, you know, refund, or they need to get kicked out, or they need to come back and get to their purchase a month from now, a membership site does all that kind of stuff.
Okay, so I'm guessing for the audience's sake that when you have these ideas, these products, you need to have a domain name for each one. You don't have like a clearinghouse of, you know, one spot where they can get everything.
Right. I mean, I mean, I have a blog, so I have my name, robertplank.com, registered, and when I get around to it, then I'll link all my products from that blog. But, I mean, yeah, the priority is just, you know, if you can think of, like, a catchy name for your kind of course, like something that's, you know, three words or so that has, like, the term itself in it, so it has, like, social media, whatever, or like webinarblank.com, like we have webinarcrusher.com or stuff like that. So I think that it's really important that if you can think of like the name of a course and if possible, grab the .com because people remember the .com and just have right. that site that you set up is just completely self-contained on its own. So someone goes to, I don't know, like supersocialmediacourse.com if that's even available. If someone types that in, then they see the sales letter and there's no link to your other products. There's no link to your blog. It's just they land on that page. There's nothing to do on that page other than to either close the tab or to click that button and buy from you.
Excellent. Okay, so let's talk about webinars. I mean, you stress that this is really, really important to offer webinars. So let's talk about why that is and the tools and resources that you really recommend for that.
Okay, well, webinars are really helpful for a number of reasons, and I think the number one reason is that these days it's hard to keep people's attention. Like we even mentioned, you know, like the phone might be going off, Facebook might be going off, people have different tabs and things open. So what's great about a webinar is that you can tell people, well, you know, coming up, you know, this coming Friday at, you know, 2 p.m. Eastern, we're going to do this training on this. And so this way you can say, well, you know, based on whatever kind of list you have in front of you, whether it's, you know, email subscribers, Facebook fans, whatever, you figure out what kind of problem they have and then think to yourself, well, what could I show them to kind of give them a little bit of a solution and at the end have something for sale. And so you have this sort of appointment set up in an upcoming date in the future for about an hour or so, and people have to register for that, and they have to enter in their name and email address, and then you say, great, you reserved your seat. And then when this date comes closer and closer, by the time you get to Friday at 2 p.m. Eastern, then you fire it up, which means that then you now appear on people's screens, and then you show whatever's on your computer screen. And so what I like to do is if I'm thinking about, you know, running a webinar just to kind of circle back around to this like social media idea, I'll think of, well, what are three things that people really, really need when it comes to social media? And if that's, you know, how to generate your social media content easily and get more likes and get more sales, then great. That is the title of my webinar. And then within that, I just kind of have somewhat of a structure. So it's really helpful for me, you know, whether it is I'm coming up with a blog post, making a book, making a webinar, whatever. It's really important, or even a sales letter. It's really important that I have kind of a structure so that I know, it's faster and easier for me to kind of get the words out. And so in this thing called a webinar, what I like to do is present for about an hour, maybe a little bit less, but I try not to go over an hour. So about an hour of, you know, me talking, showing my screen, showing PowerPoint slides, demonstrating software if I can do that. And then at the end, I pull up my browser window right there on the screen. They see my screen live. They hear me live. And I tell them to go to a website. And so my structure for that whole thing of doing a webinar is called Why, What, How to, What If. And that whole whole sequence basically means that for the first 5 or 10 minutes of that hour, I tell people like why they're here, right? And what problem is in front of them, and maybe even like what is a big kind of breakthrough that I had when it came to social media, for example. And then now that I kind of got through that breakthrough, then I spend the next, you know, maybe 15, 20 minutes or so explaining them the what. Because if I just jumped into showing them, well, here's how to, you know, make a fan page on Facebook, or here's how to retweet or stuff like that, people would be like, what are you doing? Why are you going to these websites? What problem are we really solving? So in that what section, then I just kind of give people the overview, the high level kind of stuff. And I say, well, in the next few minutes, I'm going to show you how to, you know, make your Facebook fan page, how to run your first Facebook ad. I tell them ahead of time what I'm going to do. And then in the meat, the main portion of that webinar, that, you know, 20 or 30 minutes is where now that I've explained the problem that we've set up in the why section. I've explained the steps we're going to take in the what section. Then now it's the how-to section where I then kind of walk them through that process. And maybe I solve their problem a little bit, or I give them like the first kind of little result or something like that. And then now that I've demonstrated either some kind of software or some kind of action that I can take, then I kind of take it full circle and I say, you know, wouldn't it be great if we could do this all the time? Wouldn't it be great if now that you got this first piece set up, we can do these other things? And then that is the what if section where I kind of break down the offer and I say, you know, here's all these things we can do. Wouldn't it be great if it was all in one solution? It is. It's in my course called Whatever Super Duper Social Media Secrets. And then I break down the videos within that, or if there are bonuses or whatever the offer is. And then I tell people to go and buy right now. And so it's like I stick to that structure, but then I can be creative as far as, you know, what I say within that structure. And so that is just why, what, how to, what if, where the why explains the problem, a big breakthrough I had. The what section is, well, here are some steps we're gonna take to get you some results. The how-to section is the bulk of it, where I just kind of show all the stuff I've been explaining. And then the what-if section says, now that I've shown you this little bit, now here's my course to buy. And so this works great for any kind of offer, any kind of niche. And out of all the different, you know, ways I've played around and tweaked things, that is what works best for me. And so I just use that structure there as a starting point, and then I can just really quickly, you know, put together some PowerPoint slides, talk for an hour, you know, solving some kind of problem, all that good. So that is what webinars are, and that's how I do webinars, using GoToWebinar.
I was going to ask you, a lot of people, and they'll come to me and say, oh, gosh, I want to have a webinar. I don't even know where to start. And webinars terrify people. You know, I hear it all the time. I bet you do too. They're like, oh, the technology is so scary, and what if I mess it up? And, you know, what if the technology doesn't work? And my response is just do it. You know, technology is what it is. I mean, you're not going to know how to operate it until you get in there and try to operate it.
Yeah,
they'll just talk themselves out of even trying.
Yeah, they will. They'll stop at the smallest little pebble in the road as an excuse to not do it. And so, and as far as webinars go, I mean, what's great about webinars is, you know, if it's your first webinar, chances are, your subscribers might not have even seen a webinar before, or maybe only a couple. And so I think they'll give you a little bit of a break if they're not used to webinars, if they're not used to seeing you on a webinar. And just the fact that it's live also kind of gives you a little bit of a break as well, because, I mean, you might kind of need a second to pause or something might not go quite right. And I think that what's important is to kind of get in the mindset that you might get into, like if you ever played like, you know, an instrument in school band, or if you ever like played a sport, or if you ever had to, you know, stand up in front of the class and give a book report. We've all been in that situation where we kind of had to be in like performer mode, right? Like almost like actor or musician kind of mode, where you have two choices. You can kind of let the procrastination get the best of you, or you could use this as a reason to be 100% focused, 100% present, be your best self. And, you know, there's always like that little bit of anxiety there, but you can use that as fuel to kind of be a better presenter and be more alert. And you know, when you do these things like present something on a live webinar, you're more excited. And you know, maybe that's because you're a little bit more nervous about it, you know, possibly going wrong. But I think that the end result of, you know, doing things live like that makes it better. And I mean, even if someone was completely afraid of doing webinars, I mean, my very first webinar that I did, I recorded it ahead of time because I just thought, I don't know if things are going to go right, so I'm just going to play it safe and record it ahead of time. And so what I would tell someone is to figure out any way of, if you're super afraid of doing a webinar, figure out a way to just record yourself for 1 hour. And we've mentioned Camtasia, but I mean, whatever it takes to get yourself recorded, record that 1 hour and do it in one take if possible, and don't start over and don't edit it. And I mean, you can go on a place like Fiverr.com, that's Fiverr.com, and you can hire someone to just play your webinar back. So if you're that afraid of, of things going wrong on a live webinar, there are all kinds of options for you. Like you can even record yourself and then get the webinar going and then pay someone $20 to hit a button and play back your video, I mean, it still gets the job done. But I think that, you know, if people are afraid of, you know, getting themselves out there and of, you know, saying something controversial or, you know, having their picture out there or being on camera or being live, I mean, you know, everyone out there, I mean, you can choose to be afraid of that, but then eventually you're going to have some competitor who is not as afraid of it or who finds a way of doing it. And then there'll be this other person out there who's making all these sales that you're not making because they found a way to be live. They found a way to do webinars and you didn't. So it's a matter of, well, do you want to get left behind or do you want to figure out a way to, you know, be the person you need to be, if that makes sense.
Oh, it makes perfect sense. I started a podcast because I'm not shy. I'm a complete and total introvert, but I am incredibly camera phobic. I mean, I don't know when the last picture of me was actually taken with my permission. It's probably 20 years ago. Point a camera at me and somebody will get hurt. I hate it. I really, really hate it. So, you know, this is one of the reasons I started a podcast, and it has worked for me really, really well. So, I mean, if there are people like me who simply do not want to appear on camera for whatever reason, and mine started when I was 5 years old, I know the genesis of it. But, you know, you can still get around that. You really can. Okay, so, man, this hour has gone so, so fast, and I've still got so many questions. I would love for you to come back again because we didn't even begin to cover any of the stuff that I really wanted to get into. Would you come back another time?
Heck yeah, let's do it.
Oh, good. Thank you. You see what I did there? I did it on the radio. You can't tell me no. That was tricky, huh? But before we go, but I would love for you to come back. Before we go, what are some of your most favorite tools and resources to leave our audience with? And then we'll pick up again another time.
So my favorite tools, like we mentioned, Google Calendar. I also like Gmail because it makes email a heck of a lot simpler. I like Google Drive because that makes it where you can start typing a document on one computer, get to it on another. I like Calendly lately. That's Calendly. And that allows me to basically set office hours, or if I want to have a meeting, like a podcast interview like this, someone can just choose a time slot with me. And then as far as my own tools, that podcast you mentioned of mine is at robertplank.com. That's robertplank.com. And then the tool that we mentioned on how to make a sales letter is papertemplate.com. And then the course you mentioned on how to make a membership site is at membershipcube.com. And if someone's not sure, should they go to the podcast, Paper Template, or Membership Cube? Membership Cube is my favorite course that we put out, because that includes the back end software, the actual membership part, which is called Wishlist Member. We include that, and it also includes the front end, that paper template, that's also built into it. So that's membershipcube.com, membershipcube.com.
Excellent. And I was actually going to ask you to give our audience that information, but really quickly, I'm on papertemplate.com. If you don't mind running down the differences between the $7 template and the $47 template, do you have a moment to do that?
Yeah, so the $7 version of the template just gets it up there, right? It just gives you a plain white piece of paper, and you can put whatever headline on there, put whatever text on there, and it works with any theme, or it can take over the theme anywhere in between. So, for example, like I can have robertplank.com have my blog. If I want to make just one landing page, like robertplank.com/free, I can make that, and that's just it's on the same site, but it doesn't use my blog sidebar navigation. It's a separate page on that site. And then if I wanted to, I could have that completely take it over. So that's just the $7 version. The $47 version, it has different sorts of templates that you can pick and choose from. It's mobile responsive, and it has a built-in swipe file. So it contains 60, and like I've analyzed all these different popular headlines, and I've kind of distilled it down to there are 60 winning headlines that get attention, and there are 70 types of bullet points. And so this plugin actually has all that stuff built in. And so if you're ever not sure about like a headline to put in, you just grab one and then fill in the blanks that we leave you as far as the plug-in and make it your own. We have all these you know, pre-written types of web pages. So if you want to make an opt-in page to collect leads, you click a button, it gives you an opt-in page there, and you just change the words. If you want to have a sales letter, you click a button, gives you a sales letter, you just change the words. And so the difference between those two is the $7 version just gives you just a white piece of paper. You can do what you want with it. The $47 version gives you different templates and actually writes most of your web pages for you.
And unlimited personal sites.
Yes, that as well. So in the $7 version, you can use it on up to 5 different WordPress sites, WordPress installations. The $47 version, use it on all the sites you own.
I'm actually going to be your customer today, so you'll be kidding.
Awesome.
Denise Griffiths purchased. Robert, thank you so much for being with me here today. I'm always delighted to speak with a fellow nerd. I'm actually rebranding myself as a nerd in stiletto, so it's nice to have you here today. And listen, everybody, for those of you in the chat room, I know Adam is in there, Adam Homey. The show will be available for download in just a few minutes, and you can also find us in iTunes. Just type in our names, Denise Griffiths and Robert Plank, and I will see you next week. And Robert, thank you so much. I have thoroughly enjoyed this conversation.
You're very welcome.
You can find Denise Griffiths at yourofficeontheweb.com or at gottagovirtualnow.com. Thank you for joining us on your Partner in Success Radio.